So as you know, we've been going through a series here at church called Follow Me. And the series is on really what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And I thought PK absolutely crushed it last week when he preached on Christian community and the importance of us together as a community being in church. Because not only do we come to church, but we are then in community with one another. And I want to mention this real quick in piggybacking off his message from last week a little bit. Because I think it is essential that we as believers are in church on a regular basis. And I'm not trying to do what Pastor Kirk was saying, and he wasn't trying to do it either. We're not trying to guilt anybody into coming to church. We're not trying to boost our attendance numbers to feel good about ourselves. What we're trying to do is help you understand our purpose of why we are to be in church today, and our message is going to hit on that. And as we talk about the need for being in church, I found it so interesting. I was reading through an article on Christianity Today this last week. And the article was talking about, obviously, church attendance declined a lot during COVID. Most everything did. But experts cannot figure out why the numbers are not going back up 3 years later. All other businesses are coming back up, but church attendance is still way down. And I wonder if this doesn't have something to do with it. I remember about 10 years ago, at a previous job, we were doing market research here in Sioux Falls, and the individual we had brought in to do market research were evaluating kind of the faith components of Sioux Falls, and he defined an evangelical Christian as somebody that goes to church twice a month. It's interesting now, 10 years later, most people that do research would call an evangelical Christian somebody that's in church once a month. If I go to the gym one time a month, am I a fitness expert? You're not supposed to laugh. Come on, I'm working on this, okay? And so why do I bring this up then? Because I think our lack of church attendance is one of the reasons why we're going to hit on what our topic is today for our Follow Me series. Pastor Kirk assigned this message to me, and he liked what was said here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and that is, as followers of Christ, we know that we are dependent upon one. And I think we've lost sight of who we are dependent upon. Because when we remember that, it calls for us to remain in the presence of God. And so, friends, I invite you to please rise quickly for our reading of our sermon text this morning. Our sermon text comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. This ends our sermon text. You may be seated. And I was excited, by the way, I'm going to confess this part. I was super excited that gets to preach on a sermon text that talks about a great horde. How often do we get to talk about great hordes, right? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, good, we can do this, because when I think on the imagery of a great horde being said there, it's like, wow, he's trying to build some image, Jehoshaphat was, in the mind of his people. So immediately I think about this when I think great horde, right? And these guys are coming down upon us, and when we see this coming at us, of course we're going to turn to Jesus. But if this isn't coming at us, what do we do? How do we take a text like today where he talks about a great horde coming against us and we don't exactly have that happening in our lives and make this apply to us today? And instead, what we have to understand today, friends, is the purpose of our text was what Jehoshaphat said in the warning. This marauding horde is coming at us. I mean, these are scary words, legitimately, for small little Judah. And what does he say to do? But our eyes are on you. And that is the focus of this day, when we are dependent upon one. So what I'm going to do first off is talk about kind of what led to all of this. Give you a little bit of Old Testament history, what 2 Chronicles is talking about here. And so what you've got happening is you've got these armies. You've got the Moabites, the Ammonites, and then they're a little lesser known group, the Meunites. We don't know much about them. Historians don't have much information on them. But what you get the sense is the fact that you've got these 2.5 great nations that are descending upon Israel, but actually upon Judah. And what I mean by this is, so anytime you hear in the Old Testament, you hear Israel, what Israel means is you've got Abraham was kind of the father whom God promised to build a great nation from. And Abraham's grandson was named Jacob. And it's interesting that God chose Jacob. He was kind of a sketchy dude. Wrestles with God, kind of pulls some stunts on some people. But for some reason, God chooses him to have 12 sons, and God names him Israel. And these 12 sons became the 12 tribes of what was collectively known as God's chosen nation of Israel. But even though this was God's chosen nation of Israel, they do what all human beings do. We lose focus on the one, hence the point of today's sermon. And so eventually this Israel becomes this powerful nation, and the people start focusing on themselves and on politics and on idols and on easy living and on entitlement, and they lose their focus on God, and thus their kingdom gets divided. 10 tribes became what remained as Israel, that was the northern kingdom, and 2 tribes became the southern kingdom, which was called Judah. And so what happens is, and I bring this up now, because you've got this kingdom that at one point in time had been unified is now divided, and so Judah, because they're small, has these armies that are going to march against them, because that's what happens to anybody, and especially the church. If we get divided, we have a world that is an enemy towards us, does not see us with anything positive, and if we are divided and can't get along ourselves, we are weak, the world will smell blood in the water and come at us, which is exactly what was happening here. So these nations are marching upon little bitty Judah, and what do? In verse 3, Jehoshaphat says this, "From beyond the sea, and Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah." First thing I want to mention to you, friends, is it says Jehoshaphat set his face to the Lord. That's an interesting expression that's used throughout Scripture, because when you set your face to something, it means you know where you are going to go and you are going to finish that route in which you go. It is an important term to set your face towards something, because if you listen to Luke chapter 9, verse 51, talking about Jesus, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, referencing Jesus' death, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus knew his call, set his face to Jerusalem, and that's where he was headed. Jehoshaphat, in this case, knew what was coming up against him, and he set his face to the Lord to trust in God for all of this. He then goes on and he gives this impassioned speech for all of his people. And I want to spend a few moments together in saying what Jehoshaphat says to all the people. Because it's amazing that he sets his face to the Lord, he calls the nation to do this, and all of the people do as well, showing again all of them recognize their dependence in God. This is the strength of when we as believers are unified together. And Jehoshaphat goes on and says this in verse 20. "And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood up and said, 'Hear me, Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you will succeed.'" So let's look at what this means. First off, what does it mean to be established? To be established means that God will bring about or cause to happen what you're hoping he will do. So when Jehoshaphat says that by believing in God, they will be established, he's saying that God will make happen what we are believing him to do. Remember, he had set his face to God. The nation set their face to God. They were trusting in God to deliver them, and they knew God was going to establish them, meaning he would deliver them from the hands of their enemy. Now, I want to do a quick side note here. Anytime we hear that, well, hey, you know what then? If we just believe in God and he will establish our belief, does that mean that God will give to me whatever I want? And there's a lot of preachers that love to preach this message because it packs the church super full when I tell you that all God wants to do is bless you and give you lots of good things, that if you pray hard enough for the lottery, you'll win it. Faith is not a bank account that you keep depositing more faith points in until eventually you cash in and redeem your faith points and God gives you what you want. That's not how faith works. You see, friends, faith is trusting in God to establish what His will would be for you. Faith is trusting in God that you heard from our Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. That's what we trust that God will establish, that whatever situation it is, God will work it out for my good, what He has deemed to be for my good, not what I think will be for my good. And that's why bad things still happen to us, because God isn't promising us He'll give us what we want. Frankly, a lot of times, God's protecting us by not giving us what we want. Instead, His promise for us is that He will do what is best for us in all circumstances and situations. And sometimes that's correction, and sometimes that's us being stretched and our faith being tested. And we don't like that. Scripture's clear we don't like that. Nobody likes to be stretched or tested. We want life to be easy and comfortable and then still get the results that we want. But it's all about your perspective and how you see that. Because there's two ways to see all forms of stretching or testing or growth. You can either see it as a victim, and so if you look through it with a victim lens, when anything bad comes upon you, you're going to think to yourself, why is this happening to me? Life isn't fair. I don't deserve this. And I'm not saying that during difficult times those things don't pop up. Of course they're going to come in our heads. We don't like it. But we don't focus on that. I'm sure Jehoshaphat, even at times, might have been like, why is this happening to us? Why is this great army coming upon us? But instead, he looked through it in the other lens, which is the lens of a victor. And the way that a victor looks at difficult circumstances is this: what can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? How can I use this for good? That's the type of lens that somebody who is dependent upon God sees all situations. You trust in the establishment of God's work. The second part of what Jehoshaphat said here was this: believe in his prophets and you will succeed. Okay, so the prophets back in the Old Testament times, those were the people that spoke for God. They were telling you and teaching you what God had taught, what God had been saying, where God was trying to leave us. Well, whether or not we have prophets in today's day and age like the way they did back then, we probably don't. But it's because, though, we have the Word of God. The Bible is God's Word for you to guide you and correct you and to lead you. And so, like he says here, if you are adhering to the Word of God, if you are believing his prophets, if you are believing his Word, you will succeed. And again, understanding that success does not mean some kind of earthly success, but success means the success that God does by you are following what he has designed for you. Thus, you are established in him, fulfilling his purpose, and successful in, think about this, if the Lord of the universe created you to be a certain way, and you are fulfilling that fully, you are the definition of successful. And that's success through the lens of God and his purpose for why he has created you and fulfilling his creation for you. You are trusting in the establishment of his work and what he has designed for you. And so, friends and followers of Christ, this describes us and how we are supposed to look and be. We are dependent upon Christ. We have to stop looking to ourselves for answers and look to the cross for the solution that it gave for us. You think about what happened with Judah. Again, you've got this great horde coming down upon you, and what do? They don't turn to their brothers in Israel and say, hey guys, can we make some quick amends? Like, you know, let's figure things out so you can help us defend ourselves. It said they set their face on the Lord and trusted in him. We can't rely on ourselves, and we can't rely on others. We should always be looking on the one to whom we are to be dependents. Because again, what did they say with this great horde swarming down upon them? They basically said, God, we're powerless here. Only you can save us. Let me share with you a modern example of that, what that looks like. When you have great adversity facing you and how you're supposed to actually say, Lord, I'm turning to you in all of this. Because listen, it's difficult to do sometimes. But I was floored when I read this account. I thought this was one of the most amazing accounts I've ever read before of somebody describing this peace we can find from keeping focused on God. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in his autobiography, He wrote this, and it was shortly after he had started getting involved in his work for equal rights. And obviously there's people that are not a fan of Dr. King and his work in this point in time. And so he's writing about his first night returning home after his first arrest, which, as you know, was not particularly warranted. So he finally gets out of jail, and he's at home for the first night that he's been there, and he's weak, and he's tired, and he's discouraged, and he's thinking to himself, I don't think I can go on and do this anymore. And he says he felt Jesus assure him to simply trust in him. Here's how Dr. King described that voice. I tell you, I've seen the lightning flash, I've heard the thunder roar, I've felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus saying still to fight on. He promised to never leave me alone. At that moment, I experienced the presence of the divine as I had never experienced him before. Almost at once, my fears began to go. My uncertainty disappeared. I was ready to face anything. And to put his newfound faith to test, three nights later, of course, anytime people disagree, somebody came and knocked on his door and said, Dr. King, I'd love to have a civil discussion on our differing opinions. Since we know that's not how the world operates and people disagree, 3 days after having this experience, somebody throws a bomb into his house. Here is a young pastor, a young father, a young husband, and somebody throws a bomb into his house. And here's how he handled that night. Strangely enough, I accepted the word of the bombing calmly. My religious experience a few nights before had given me the strength to face it. That's what it means when we trust God amidst this, these great hordes that we feel that are coming upon us. And so how then, friends, can we be dependent upon one? How can we live this way? Because obviously we don't have great hordes coming upon us. We don't have people throwing bombs into our front porch of our house. But we do have these stressors in life. We do have these challenges in life that feel overwhelming and feel burdensome. We're afraid to even face those. Here's what we can do to help those. And I want to, before I get into some things that really will help us focus on the Lord, I want to actually share one thing. I think one of the worst things that we can do, either telling ourselves these things or telling other these things, are just empty Christian cliches. They drive me nuts. I think it's one of the most damaging things to the growth of a Christian, are empty slogans. I'm going to confess something as a pastor I probably shouldn't confess to. But hey, this is me cleansing myself, right? But you got to hear me out before you tar and feather me and remove me from the church. Back when I was on KNWC, I was the program director, so I was responsible for all the content that went on in the air. And I had one announcer, and he was this young guy. He loved Jesus and everything, but every time he opened the mic, it would be like, are you feeling anxious? Let go and let God. You're too blessed to be stressed. God loves those who help themselves. And you're like, wait, where's this stuff coming from, right? And it drove me nuts because while his intentions were good, there was no meat on those bones. It's like if you come across somebody hungry and you hand them a bone and say, there you go, and you're expecting them to be fed, what good was it? So I know this is going to sound really bad. Now that I'm a pastor, and even back then I was in charge of a Christian radio station, I forbade him to talk about Jesus for the next 30 days on the air. And he was mortified by it, and he resisted it. And I said, because you have to learn to not just flippantly encourage people in Christ, but to genuinely want to walk and guide and encourage people and teach them in ways that they're not understanding when they're facing great hordes. Just simply saying, trust Jesus isn't enough. James warns of this in James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Hear this. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Friends, we should be encouraging people to trust Jesus. We should be helping people to understand how to do it, but just saying those phrases and leaving the room expecting people to know doesn't help them. As a matter of fact, I meet with a lot of Christians that struggle with that very thing. Pastor, I know I'm supposed to trust Jesus, but I'm very overwhelmed right now by whatever situation is in my life, and suddenly they're feeling like inadequate Christians because they're not able to trust Jesus. I don't want to add to that burden. I don't want to make it harder on them. We shouldn't be wondering and questioning our own faith. We should be recognizing a reliance upon the Lord. And so I think what we should do by this is not just say, trust Jesus, but follow Jehoshaphat's example. He said, let's turn to the Lord, but then he explained why. If you go read back through what Jehoshaphat had said, he showed them how they should trust God and why. He reminded them about God's authority. He reminded them about God's power. He reminded them when they were Israelites, God got them through the wilderness and how God had provided for them and how he has the ultimate authority and ultimate say and how they are merely trusting the Lord and all that he does because it's always for their good. You see the difference in that? Now they can take hope and comfort in that because they're being reminded to go and listen to the word of God and see how God has been active and present in their life. And he said to them, if he did it once, he can do it again, so let's trust in that. And so friends, as a community of believers who are here for one another, when we have brothers and sisters in need, don't just throw them a bone and walk away feeling good about yourself. Walk alongside of them to encourage them and help them to, as Jehoshaphat said, to keep our eyes on the Lord. To me, we have the three things to look at. We have the cross, and we have the word. Our eyes should always be on those. And I think that there's three things that we can do, friends. These aren't biblical. These are things that I would just encourage you that I see very much help us keep our eyes focused on the Lord. When we go through those great hordes that march against us and looking around this room, and I know some of you and some of the troubles that you've gone through, and it probably felt like there's this great army marching against you and you're terrified and how do I handle this? I think the first thing is obvious, and I'm sure a lot of you that have been through difficult battles, you did this. Just spend time with the Lord. If we're to be dependent with the Lord, we need to spend time with him. We're always too busy for everything today. It's hard to be dependent on God if we're more dependent on our clocks and our alarms and our planners, and we just try to squeeze God in at places. Spend time with the Lord. Spend time in prayer with him. Talk to him one-on-one. It's all going to depend on that. Spend time in the word. God's word was given to you. It guides you and it reminds you of all that he has done for you. That he will never leave you alone. He will never forsake you. He will carry you through all things. He is more powerful than all things. Here's a great reminder, I think, for us about how important it is to be in prayer to the Lord. Pastor Brandt sends out a text to some of us on Saturday mornings, and this is what he texted yesterday. I thought this was so great. I'm amazed that anyone listens to me, let alone the God of the universe. Do you ever think that when you pray? Man, the God of the universe is listening to me right now. But he says he does. I believe him. This is a truth a seasoned follower of Christ must never forget. Jesus hears and answers prayers, our prayers. He's not just some casual listener. You know the type, the one who says, I'm not sure I heard what you were saying. Can you repeat it? No, that's not him. The God of the universe has both ears wide open and tuned in to your voice. Does he answer? You bet he does. He is faithful. He always answers. Are his answers right? Yes, he is totally righteous. His answers will always be in your best interest. He always answers in the best way and at his right time. This is most certainly true. God always hears you. He will always answer. It may not be what you want, but it will be right. It may not be as soon as you want, but it will be on time. Keep praying in Jesus' name, Lord, I want thy will in thy time to be done in and through my life. How do we know that Pastor Brandt's words are true? Because his words come from the word of God. He started off with Psalm 143, verse 1. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to my supplication. Answer me in your faithfulness, in your righteousness. Friends, the Bible, by going to it, reminds us again of God's faithfulness to his people. When sometimes we have trouble remembering that, saying the same things that Pastor Brandt did, pulling up scripture, that encourages and reminds people of how God is faithful to his people. How we can remind one another that no obstacle is too great for God. He is victorious over all things, even the things that we think would be impossible. The Bible reminds us that Jesus knows and feels and has felt all of our pain and everything we feel, that God is walking with you at all times. And the Bible most importantly reminds you that Christ is victorious over it all. The second thing we can do to get through the great hordes that we feel that are descending upon us, prayer and His Word is one. Another one is actually right around you, Christian community. I'm going to come back to that point again. And it's not like we're constantly trying to harp on you to be back in church. We're doing it because, friends, this is for our own good. It's what the Lord has designed. Because what happens is you enter into a room of like-minded friends that all have their hope upon the One. And we encourage one another then. We walk with one another through our struggles and all of this. Because here's what's interesting. By not coming to church, well, I got better things to do. Do you know this is a point in time in our world when people are lonelier than they ever have been? And loneliness leads to depression. And depression makes us isolate, which then makes us even more depressed. Loneliness makes us feel anxious because I have to go through life and all of these struggles by myself. But you notice how both those problems get eased when you suddenly get into community? Because you're no longer alone and there's friends willing to walk you through this. Friends, that will remind you to just lay it at the feet of the Lord and trust in Him. That is the amazing thing about being part of a community where we are all dependent on the One together. The last thing I'll encourage you on to get through those great hordes in life, when life feels overwhelming, aside from reading the Word and being in prayer, aside from being in church, I found this one is great too. Go serve those who are in need. If you want life's pressures to fade away, take the focus off yourself. It's not a matter of serving other people to see that, yep, others have it worse than I do. It's a matter of helping show others what it means to be dependent upon the Lord, because they see your dependence. Because why do we go out and serve others? Because we trust that God will provide and care for us. If I have to worry about myself and work for myself, then I'm trusting in me. When I'm serving others, I'm saying, because I know the Lord will care for me. People see your dependence upon the Lord and they trust in Him as well. The more you put aside things about yourself and the more you rely on Jesus, the more you will come to understand that God has your best interest in mind and cares for you along the way. And friends, I can say this with the utmost confidence. The reason I know fully and assuredly that God has our best interest in mind is because of the cross. And that Jesus died on the cross is God's way of saying, no matter what happens in this world to you, and I hate to say this as a pastor because everybody loves happy messages, there is no guarantee that your life will turn out great or you will see a resolve to your problems in the end. But Jesus won the victory over sin and death and all problems, and so maybe on this earth it will not be satisfied, but in His kingdom forever, all of those problems are gone. Life is not a Disney movie where if you follow your heart, it all works out in the end. Things are going to be difficult. But when we trust Jesus, what we are saying is, my hope has never been in this world. It is the world that Christ has promised to me by overcoming sin and death. And that's why we place our trust in that. So what I want to do, friends, as we close out this morning, and for all of you that are watching online, find some time for this. We have a radio broadcast. This goes out. Well, if you're in the radio broadcast, you're listening in your car, don't bow your head. That would be a little scary, okay? You'll really need Jesus then. What I want to close our message out with today, friends, if you'll notice, we didn't do prayer time yet before the service. Usually we'll do prayer time before we get into the message. But I was thinking to myself when I'm writing this message, if this is about being dependent upon One, then this is about you speaking to the Lord one-on-one. So we're going to close out our service this morning in just silent prayer. And by silent prayer, what I mean is it's just you and it's just the Lord in prayer. And it's going to be quiet in the sanctuary. There might be some coughing or sneezing. Hopefully there's no cell phones that go off. But the reality is just you and the Lord. And I learned this from the first service. The first probably 60 to 90 seconds is weird. You're like, God, I hope I don't look weird, like bowing and praying. We're that way. We're self-conscious about stuff. But it seemed like after about a minute or so, that started to fade. And suddenly I just started thinking, Lord, just please hear me. And I just talked to him. So we're going to do that. We're going to have a fair amount of silence. Just pray to God. If the person next to you is done, just keep praying if you're still talking to God. If the worship team comes up and starts playing, just keep praying. It's not like you want to be in the midst of a deep prayer. Oh, song started. Amen. Not that God's going to punish that, but it's like, but the point of this is, friends, if we are dependent upon him, then let's spend time with him.